Have you ever heard of Candyman? And if you look in the mirror, and you say his name 5 times.
In cities everywhere.
Candyman?
They whisper his name.
Right. Candyman.
It's just a story.
Candyman?
Candyman.
Just a ghost story.
Candyman.
An entire community starts attributing the daily horrors of their lives to a mythical figure.
The legend first appeared in 1890. He was attacked, mutilated, and burned to death. Poor Candyman.
Helen, a woman died in there. Leave it.
Everyone knows he isn't real.
That's modern oral folklore.
Everyone. Except Helen Lyle.
Where did I...
It ain't safe around here.
That don't scare too easy. Don't know about Ruthie Jean. They ain't never gonna catch him. Candyman.
Who is that?
I came for you.
Do I know you?
Now she is about to discover.
Tell me.
Get out! Get out!
The mystery.
You suck.
What's behind the legend?
Listen, he's under the bed!
And most terrifying of all,
come with me.
What's behind the mirror?
He's here.
Candyman, you don't have to believe. Just beware.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Super Podcast, and I'm your host, Super Marcy. And I'm joined with Sean from We're Coming to Get You podcast. How are you going, Sean?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm very well. Just slightly sleepy, but good.
Very early, isn't it?
Yes, we're recording early for me. But
how early is it?
Almost 8 o'clock in the morning. On a Monday.
Oh, that's not bad. I don't feel bad for either.
Yeah, on a Monday.
If it was 4 in the morning, that would be
so. No, not that early, but still on future time, because it's only Sunday for you.
Yeah, I went to bed at 4 in the morning.
So. crazy.
That's okay, because it's almost 7 p.m. here now, so.
Oh.
I've had plenty of sleep.
Well, it's all good for you. You're all rested up for the podcast.
Yep.
Yes, now. If any of our listeners might remember, you joined me for some earlier podcasts where we did the Disturbing Movies podcast, which was quite popular. So
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think we were all a bit high or something.
Oh, okay. Well, that's possible.
Yeah. But, yeah, one of the most popular episodes, and it's...
I'm high now. I don't think I'll remember this.
Yeah, you won't remember this one. But about time that I had you back on, although minus... your partner in crime, but I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll be back sometime.
Andre's here in spirit.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back sometime.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners, why don't you tell them a little bit about your new podcast, which you didn't have last time you were on the show, but you have it
now.
Oh,
I didn't get to whore myself out on the last podcast?
No. So you can whore yourself out right now.
Oh, okay. I'll whore myself out right now. Okay, well, for everyone out there, it's... We're called We're Coming to Get You, which is basically ripped off from the original Night of the Living Dead, because we wanted to come up with a cool name for our show.
Yeah.
I guess that's still up in the air. But we concentrate on horror movies, and we like to provide a certain theme for each show, so it's not just they're random movies, but at least they fit with a theme. We're not just picking 3 random ones just for the hell of it.
It's a specific theme.
Yeah, so like we come up with... great horror directors who've made bad movies, the horror movies you used to watch as a child.
Which was on,
Yeah,
one.
You were on the show.
Which was fun, thank you.
Barely on it, but you were there.
That was like, 1 a.m. in the morning for me when we did that.
Cameo from Marcy.
Yes.
and stuff like that, It's most of the shows we try to... we try to stick with some movies that people do know about, but we always like to throw in something that you may not know about either, like a little hidden gem or something. So yeah. It's a little bit for everyone.
Yeah.
And we're just starting out. We've only done 9 shows. We're working on a 10th one, so.
Well, I'd highly recommend it for my listeners.
Thank you.
And
we're coming to get you .podbean.com.
Very easy to remember. And it's W-E-R-E, so there's no little thing in there. Yeah. Just straight write it out. And, well, they're not really coming to get you, but you'll be entertained, I promise you, listeners.
Listen to her. She doesn't lie.
Yes. Marcy knows her stuff, obviously.
She does?
Yes.
Especially when she's talking about my stuff.
And you also write up reviews on there, on the website. And seeing as your theme lately has been, like, movie franchises that you've been reviewing.
Yeah, I get into these, like, little writing habits. I've been trying to write about horror movie series that don't they're not considered up there with the big guns, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. I've written about like the Phantasm series, Puppet Master, Reanimator.
Yay!
So, yeah, Reanimator's a classic. See it if you haven't seen it yet.
Yes, that made me very happy.
So it's really hard actually trying to find some of these old movies now. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do like Basket Case. Oh, there's 3 of them. I'm trying to find those.
Yeah, it's really funny because they're actually easy to find on DVD here, the second and the third, but not the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I found the first one here.
Oh, and you can't find the second or third.
No, of course not.
We'd have to do a swap.
You know, and like, here I am, I'm trying to look for like the Howling movies, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, shit, there's 6 or 7 of them. I didn't even know that.
It's easier to do shorter series.
Yeah, I did Puppet Master, and there's like 9 or 10.
Oh, that's long.
So that took a while, but I'm a big fan of B movies, so I'm going to be doing Leprechaun soon. I should have done it last month with St. Patrick's Day for all the North American and Irish.
That should be quite a funny series to watch.
Well, I'm going to kill all my credibility here and say that I do enjoy the Leprechaun movies for the most part
because they're so stupid.
Well, they're amusing. For the most part, they don't take themselves seriously.
Well, they're
seriously.
Not meant to be
they're
serious.
They're actually quite funny.
Yeah.
I think Leprechaun 3 is very funny. It's a very funny comedy.
I just remember the first one, and it has Jennifer Aniston with her real nose, which was rather amusing
I don't pay attention to to friends and their nose jobs and such. So.
No, well, if you look at a photo of her, I'll believe you. If you look at her before and after, it's quite obvious she's had a nose job.
I don't care. She's hot either way.
But, yeah, with just having a look at all your reviews and doing the movie franchises, I thought, well, maybe we can do the podcast on one of it's not really a franchise at the moment. It's a trilogy. And,
well, close enough.
Yeah, and that would be Candyman.
Candyman.
Don't say his name 5 times in the mirror.
No, that's just asking for trouble.
He will come and get you.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah. So we'll get into we're not going to get into him, but we'll discuss him. Candyman, the first film, which came out in 1992, possibly 1993 in Australia because we're behind.
It's weird because you're ahead of me right now.
But. Yeah, but we get everything late.
It's strange. I feel bad for you guys.
Yes, please do. Candyman. So it's, by now it's 18-year-old film. And it stars Virginia Madsen as Helen and Tony Todd as the Candyman.
Tony Todd. Awesome.
Yeah, this was, I think, the role that, made him famous in the horror world.
Pretty much. This is where most people discovered Tony Todd.
Yeah.
That Tony Todd exists.
Yeah, this is what he's known for. And, well, the movie does star some other people, but...
they don't care.
They don't really matter because they're the 2 main ones that you're going to pay attention to. You might notice Ted Raimi at the beginning as a tough biker dude, which kind of is really unconvincing.
Oh, right. I remember him.
Yeah. Now... Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
Oh, the first time I saw this movie, so it came out in 92.
Yeah.
So I was 12, and I really wasn't into watching horror movies back then, so I didn't get to see this until I really started getting into horror movies back in high school. So this is about, more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm old. I've heard a lot of good things about it. And so just one day I just came out and I bought it, and this is back in the VHS days, and this is back when they were cheap, so it didn't cost me a whole lot. So I sat down to watch it. I didn't know a whole lot about Candyman, just from what I remember from the previews I saw on TV, which made it seem kind of like a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
For people who remember the Bloody Mary legend, you have to say her name three times in a mirror and she pops out. So saying Candyman five times, I thought was kind of a ripoff. But I was really pleasantly surprised by it. Because it's a Clive Barker movie. I think I forget if he directed.
He wrote it, or it's based on something he wrote, yeah.
And I didn't know Clive Barker from anything other than Hellraiser, but most people don't anyway.
No.
And I did enjoy the first couple Hellraisers, so I guess I had a little bit of something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So, I sat back and just let the movie do its thing, really. I just went in with no expectations, and it really blew me away. It was a really good horror thriller.
Mm. I saw this when I was like 10, I think.
You watched it when you were young.
I watched it when I was young. I think I was about 10. I can't remember if it was like a new release at the video store or whatever.
But see, those movies weren't allowed in my house when I was younger.
I didn't watch this at home with my parents knowing.
Oh,
this is when we used to have sleepovers with my cousins, and we used to go out and hire horror movies and whatnot. Movies we're not supposed to be watching.
So you had, your friends had the cool parents or something.
No, we just got away with things, I think.
Oh, wow. Video stores were lax back then.
Oh, yeah. I think, we just used to, I don't know how we got away with getting what we wanted, but I remember watching it and I remember thinking it was like a really cool movie. And I think it was a little bit scary at that time, if I remember. And I think I remember it being a bit more bloody than it actually was. But
it can get pretty bloody.
It is, as it goes on, it does get that way. But rewatching it now, I just realize like what an absolute, just almost perfect horror movie it actually really is.
It is. Like when I watched it the other night, I just kind of sat back and said, like, you know what, compared to like a lot of movies that came out back in the 90s, this is definitely one of the, like, the cream of the crop.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll just put that on the box cover for the next DVD.
Yeah.
Sean says cream of the crop. But really, it is.
It's there's more to it than
just... The guy who likes
just...
Leprechaun says the Candyman is good.
Well, yeah. Leprechaun. It's just that it's got an actual, like, deep story. Well, not deep story, but a decent story. It's not just something, let's just make some crappy slasher movie.
Exactly. Whatever. You know, it's a lot more than just, this thing's come back to life from the dead or whatever, and killing all these teenagers. You know, it's about, like, someone who's doing research into urban legends and finding out that an urban legend is really real.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was really cool because urban legends had come out, years later, but I think I saw Urban Legends before where this killer is bringing all these urban legends back to life, but it's a slash movie, you know? I watched that recently, too, and it sucks.
you rewatch that, it's not good.
Taking, basically it's the Bloody Mary legend.
Yeah.
But expanding it, and of course not ripping it off by making a Candyman.
It starts off where they're just, like, researching about the urban legends for their thesis. That's Virginia Madsen and I can't remember who plays her friend. And, I mean, she's got her husband and there's, like, a side story with him as well because that's kind of comes into play a bit later on, but that's would be a spoiler if I talk about it too much, so I won't.
Don't do spoilers on the show. Gotcha.
Oh, well, we do, but just for this movie, we won't, because if anyone hasn't seen it, they should see it without knowing spoilers. But well, I don't think we're really giving anything away.
If you're listening to this and you haven't seen Candyman yet, shut this off and go watch it. Because you're really missing out.
Well, I don't think
it's going to be ruined for you.
I don't think it'll get spoiled too much, but she learns about the Candyman, really, right? Yeah, I mean, it's called Candyman, so she learns about the Candyman, who's a guy with a hook for a hand, played by Tony Todd, and, you say his name in the mirror, and he comes and kills you, basically.
Yeah, I think they go a little bit more into his legend in the sequel, but in this one, basically, it's just...
They do give him a background a little bit and explain like what happened to him, how he was a real person kind of thing.
Well, yes. He was a slave, Daniel Robitaille.
Yeah.
He was a slave to a white family who was hired to do paintings. And his owner wanted him to do a painting of his sister. Or sorry, not his sister, his daughter.
His daughter, yes.
Yeah, and they fell in love, and of course, you know, that kind of thing was forbidden. They gave the guy, Daniel Robitaille, the old heave-ho, and they killed him in a really nasty way. And it's just his spirit lives on as this legend.
Yeah, and his death has something to do with bees, because you'll notice there's a bit of a bee theme in the film.
Yeah, well, I said I was going to spoil stuff here, because that's what I do.
Well,
one of the things they do to him is they smear honey all over his body, and the bees get to him, and they start stinging him. They sting him to death.
Yeah, although I think they show that in the sequel as part of the thing. But
well, like I said, they really go into a lot.
There's more into the sequel, but we'll stick to this one for now.
Yeah, you're basically just given a little bit of background about who the Candyman really is, because urban legends usually tie to some sort of reality.
They come from somewhere, and this is
they seem quite realistic up until the point where they become a little more fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, this one's like you say someone's name and he appears to you. He's not. He's like a spirit something or other.
Oh, it's a ghost. Yeah, of course that doesn't really happen, but people fall for the Bloody Mary thing all the time. Yeah. Why not Candyman?
Yeah, and I mean, as things go on, obviously things get a little worse for Helen because she finds out things, and Candyman starts appearing, and she kind of is around when he kills people.
Yeah, well, she calls out the Candyman because she's one of those naysayers. We're saying like, you know, these are just urban legends; nothing is real.
Yeah.
So she actually calls him out, and sure enough, he does show up. And he likes to mess around with her by killing people around her.
Yeah, and of course it looks like she's killed them.
Yes, and I like that little dynamic they threw into the movie. It's not a slasher where someone is killing just for the sake of killing. He's killing these people, but it's making it look like her. So
and
not only is she doing this, she has to like clear her name too.
Yeah, and there's a reason for what he's doing, which, I mean, he says what he kind of like, implies what he's doing, I guess.
Well, yeah, it was many, many times throughout the movie, when he appears to her, he says, like, you know, be my victim.
Yeah, he wants her, and he wants her bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
with Virginia Madsen.
Yeah. And, I mean, as it goes on, it is quite a bloody film, but it actually takes the time to set everything up, so as you get to, like, the second half, it does pay off. It's something that actually, like, takes its time to set things up, but it doesn't take its time, so to speak. It flows pretty well. It just actually, like, it's not going to insult your intelligence, basically. It's going to give you something.
No, it's got a good pace. It's not a movie for people who just want the blood and the gore and just the killing, you know, because, I mean, it's considered a slasher, but it has a story to it, you know, and you have to let it unfold.
Yeah, it's more intelligent, I guess we could say.
Yeah, like the first half is the setup, and, you know, there's a little killing, but as it goes on, it does get, you know, it gets better for those who want the killings.
Yeah, but it's a good payoff.
I think so.
Yeah, and it's actually got a really cool, like, theme music throughout the movie, which really adds to the atmosphere, I think.
Well, hey, every big name slasher character has got to have their own theme song.
Yeah, so. This one's pretty cool. I really liked it. Maybe I think in the sequel really they overused it a bit, but it was done well in this one at least.
The only music I can remember is from the third one, and
we'll get.
I don't
want
to get to that right now.
Well, we'll get to that later, but I guess like acting wise, it's pretty spot on because I mean Virginia Madsen basically. She carries the film pretty strongly.
Well, she's a good anchor. She's a good actress.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. And she's certainly believable.
Yeah, she's convincing. That's the big thing. And she's someone you can get behind, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I was in that movie and she told me some dude was going around killing people with a hook, I'd believe her.
Yeah,
I don't care if she said it was Candyman or something. I'd be like, okay, cool.
let's get him.
Let's figure something out and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. She's a sympathetic character, someone you can get behind.
Yeah, even though she was kind of asking for it, too.
Yeah, I mean, she might have been pushing things a bit too much, but if not, I mean, we wouldn't really have a movie, so.
True.
It's kind of justified in a way. And, of course, Tony Todd is pretty awesome as Candyman. He's got a creepy feel to him as Candyman.
I've seen Tony Todd in a lot of movies and on TV, too. He has a certain presence about him, but it's especially true in the Candyman movies, where he commands your attention.
Yeah.
You know, anytime he's on screen and he's talking, he's not like Freddy Krueger. He doesn't talk and talk and talk. Every word that comes out of his mouth, has a reason.
Yeah, it serves a purpose.
So when he speaks, you are totally captivated and paying attention to every word he says.
Yeah. In this one, he's not in it so much because it's more of a background thing, but when he is
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I mean, you notice him and you're going to you're going to pay attention. And yeah, I remember when I watched it as a kid, he was kind of creepy, a bit spooky.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have to be on the screen. I mean, his presence is felt throughout the entire movie. There's paintings of Candyman around this area because he's a very well-known local urban legend. It takes place in Louisiana. We didn't say this earlier, but he's well known in Louisiana. So, there's paintings of him like on buildings and stuff. So even though Candyman isn't physically there or even speaking,
you feel him.
He's still there. People still know he's there.
Yeah, he's there.
And that's cool.
Yeah. So let's give the first Candyman a rating. If you want to go ahead and give us your rating with your special rating system.
Oh, you didn't tell me we were going to do this.
Yeah. I can give it my rating first if you want to prepare.
Do you do ratings?
Well, my rating system is out of 5, and I've given this a 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
And the main things that I really liked was the story, very strong story. Very strong performances and a really great theme song and soundtrack to the film. So those things really, really awesome. And of course, as a horror movie, it does have the blood. It's got some really cool, definitely spooky-ish, scary scenes, which are more towards the end. And it's got some great, I don't think it had a massive budget, but it's got, great visuals. Cinematography is pretty good, and as you mentioned about the paintings, I mean they were really well done, so it all kind of just comes together and makes I definitely would put this up there with one of my favorite horror movies, having watched it again.
It still stands the test of time.
It doesn't feel like it's aged really. Apart from the wardrobe. But
the movie is almost 20 years old. You know, like you can watch movies from the 80s, even though the 80s were a much different time than the 90s. it's definitely not out there. It's not crazy weird or anything. You could remake it, and it could still be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you put the right people with it, you could either remake it or just do a proper sequel to it.
Yeah.
But I just looked it up. It had $8 million budget, so...
Yeah, and it made about 25, so...
Not bad, but I think this was more of a hit when it got to, video.
Yeah, well, that's... Horror movies definitely a much longer shelf life.
Yeah, that's usually where they seem to get it, yeah. All right, and what's your rating for this movie?
All right, so my ratings are a little bit different from Marcy's. I rate the story, the blood, the nudity, and the overall experience. The story I gave a 9. It was very well done, well told, well written.
I definitely agree with that rating. Thumbs up.
The blood, I give a 7. Yeah. It's definitely above what you could see in an average horror movie. The impalings with the hook are certainly gory enough.
Yeah, but it's not too over the top. ridiculous.
No, it's not over the top.
So.
I mean, if you want over the top, watch Brain Dead or something.
Yeah, but it fits in with the like the actual tone of the film.
Yeah, it's definitely not overdone. Yeah. Because if it was overdone, it'd be funny. It'd be done for comedic effect, and the movie's totally serious all the way through.
Yeah, it's done just right. So I definitely agree with the 7.
Boobs, the nudity, I give 5.
Yeah.
You see Virginia Madsen in the tub, I think.
Yeah. You don't see, like, too much, but she's in the tub and you're not complaining.
I enjoyed it. So. Nothing spectacular, but I appreciate it all the same.
Exactly.
The overall experience, I give it a 9 out of 10.
So pretty much, I mean, if my score was out of 10, it would be 9 because 4.5. Times 2 is 9, so same score. Woohoo!
Well, my overall rating's not the story, the nudity, and the blood don't factor into the overall, but I don't take like an average score or anything.
No,
right?
it's just your overall rating for the film.
I mean, I could watch the bloodiest movie with wall to wall nudity
and give it a
10
and a
10,
stupid, but it could
I could
be
give it a,
shit.
I could give it a 2.
Exactly, but for those listening, if you haven't seen Candyman, go watch it. And if you haven't seen it for a while, go watch it again because it's certainly worth your time.
Absolutely. One of the best of that decade.
Easily.
And it still holds up.
Yeah.
Still hold.
The only thing that doesn't hold up is the fashion, but you can look past that easily enough.
True. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely not as bad as an 80s movie, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of when we were leaving leaving all that 80s behind.
Well, yeah, the early 90s had a hard time kind of leaving the 80s behind it, but yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah. All right. Next movie is the sequel, which is Candyman Farewell to the Flesh. And this came out 3 years later, so it's a 1995 movie. Mm-hmm. And this one, well, it still has Tony Todd because he's Candyman.
Better have Tony Todd.
Yes.
That was a great stand-in.
Yeah, he looked exactly and acted exactly like him. I'm just having a look. Our female lead in it was Kelly Rowan as Annie. And it's basically about her. And Veronica Cartwright plays her mother, Octavia. Octavia, I know.
Man, that's an old person's name, that's for sure.
Because this one,
color purple.
Octavia. And she sounds like an evil like witch from a Disney movie. But this
she sounds
one
like Roman or something.
Yeah, sorry. This movie's got more to do with family stuff because this one completely gives Candyman more of a backstory.
It might as well just be called the Candyman backstory because
Candyman Origins.
Yeah, there you go. it definitely goes a lot into the backstory of the killer, and I'm not usually a big proponent of showing a backstory of the killers because that sometimes just takes away from this character that we've gotten to know. I mean,
yeah.
Like Freddy Krueger, we don't need to know a whole lot of his backstory. That you know he was a child killer and all that. Mm. That's fine. That ties in, but I don't need to see
him doing it or anything.
Yeah, because you know because like Michael Myers when Rob Zombie did his Michael Myers movie, you know there's a lot. The first half of that movie is all just about how Michael became all twisted and stuff.
Yeah.
And it turned out a lot better than I thought, but I really felt it was unnecessary. It's scarier just having Michael be Michael.
Well, I'm a big fan of that movie, and I liked that stuff, but I kind of liked that he just went and did his own thing with it as well. But
true. I mean, I didn't hate it, but if you're going to give me the choice if I want to watch the original Halloween or the remake, I'm definitely going to go with the original because I find it scarier because it's just some dude killing people.
Yeah.
I don't care that he was, like, you know, poorly treated when he was a child and yelled at and stuff. Big deal.
Mm. That's all well and good. But I actually think with this movie, like, the backstory kind of makes him a bit more sympathetic because...
Absolutely, yes.
You feel for the guy, really. This is where they show you, I can't remember how it came about, but it's like a flashback to when they actually kill him. And
yeah, it's like an extended flashback, but
you know, he gets townspeople are there, and
well, it shows Daniel Robitaille in the sympathetic light. Basically, he's almost as if he's an anti-hero.
Yeah,
it's a tale of forbidden love. These people love each other, but
they're not allowed
because of the times. It's not allowed at all. And I'm pretty sure that kind of stuff happened back in the day anyway. You know, these black slaves were, you know, lynched and killed and God knows what ways. But this girl's father really went way too far.
Yeah, and he got all the townspeople involved. I mean, they cut his hand off, which you obviously will know because he's got a hook there now.
And yeah, well, for people who didn't know why the hook is there, they know.
Well, yeah, obviously he got his hand cut off.
Yeah, they smear the honey on him and he gets stung by the bee.
Yeah, so we find out where the whole sweets for the sweet comes from and the Candyman name because of the honey.
That's right, yeah. One of the kids calls him Candyman. Taste the honey.
Yeah.
And of course, it has to introduce the mirror.
Yeah, the whole thing with the mirror gets a background as well.
Yeah, it's, like why he comes out of the mirror. It, you know, it's a little strange, but basically it's just his spirit
is in the mirror.
Like when the people were chanting Candyman at him, he was looking into
the girlfriend's mirror.
Yeah. And, it's like his spirit, I guess, traveled into the mirror or something. That's never really fully explained. Yeah. It just kind of to us.
Yeah, you just think, oh, okay, well, that's why it is, and this is where he's getting his powers from, but something they kind of established in the first one was keeping the legend alive keeps him, the more they keep with keeping the urban legend alive, he can still appear. But they kind of changed that with this saying, like, he's in the mirror. There's a different way to get rid of him, I guess we could say.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get into it in the next movie too, but this is definitely a series where they like to break the rules established in the previous movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it does bug me a little bit, but
yeah, that kind of thing just was a bit, oh, do we really need this whole mirror thing? But yeah.
Well, I mean, I like the backstory enough that I'm willing to forgive.
Yeah. Because I thought it was well done, and
it could be done totally hokey, and it could have been just thrown in just for the sake of, like, oh, we need an out in this movie and this is how the movie's going to end, but yeah. I mean, it makes sense for the most part, so I'm willing to forgive.
Yeah, they at least make it make sense if you don't pay too much attention to things set up in the first one, I suppose.
Yeah.
This one's kind of got more, as we said, the backstory, it's got more with the actual family as certain things are revealed and why the family of Annie has this connection with Candyman, because we find out like her father was killed by Candyman, although it's like, you know, her and her brother think that, or her brother thinks that and convinces her about it. But they think that her brother is doing the killings, but it's Candyman. Because as we know, he sets people up for the killings that happen.
Hey, he's smart.
Yeah. But as things happen, you know, the story will progress and she finds out more about the Candyman and why certain things are happening. I thought it was pretty well done. I thought just overall as a sequel was pretty, pretty good.
Well, they could have really dropped the ball with this. They really could have.
I mean, they tried to keep the tone of the original and not try to make it too much of just a slasher film. They wanted to try and keep, try and have a stronger story there, I think.
Yeah, the thing is, like, a lot of, like, sequels just can't usually hold up to the original movies, so.
Well, this one doesn't, but I thought it was pretty strong.
Well, it's not for a lack of trying, though.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty strong, pretty enjoyable for a sequel.
For a sequel, yes. It's better than probably could be expected.
Yeah. That's, you know, with other series, a lot of sequels tend to fall flat. But this one, I don't think it really does. I think it's worth watching if you like the first one, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. And, It's a nice compliment to the first movie. Not quite as good, but if you like the character, there's a lot more here to take in, because there's a lot more of the backstory.
There's a lot more Tony Todd.
There's a lot more Tony Todd. The character is a lot more intimate with our heroine for obvious reasons when you watch the movie.
Yeah. And
see how I try to avoid the spoiler there?
Oh, yeah. I haven't said anything. And he's quite good as well, again. I mean, he's... Every time he plays Candyman, I think he's just spot on. He's not... There's nothing bad about it. If he's given something that doesn't quite work, he still tries and makes it work.
Well, I mean, he's... Tony Todd is Candyman, so... Yeah. Every time Candyman is on screen, he's doing what he can. He's he takes the character as far as he possibly can with what he's given. But I have absolutely no problems with Candyman himself in this movie.
No, because as I said, it's he's in it more, and it's about him really.
Well, that's the thing. If you like Candyman, there's more of him in this one. So and he doesn't ruin it either. Like Candyman isn't ruined in this. Like
no.
If you see like Freddy Krueger every now and then in a movie, that's fine. But once he starts showing up to giggle and say a one-liner, then you know he's not scary anymore. Yeah. Candyman can still be scary.
He's still scary and creepy, even though they do add like, he can be a sympathetic character. So I think
that's fine because at some point I'm like, huh, maybe these people do deserve to die, or he's getting back at the people who wronged him. So.
Yeah. So it's done
That's cool.
quite well. Yeah, I mean,
I can understand that. I can, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for this kind of movie, I mean, the acting in it was pretty decent.
Like, yeah, nothing really rubbed me the wrong way for the most part.
I mean, most people were good enough.
I forget what the guy's name is, but he played the brother of the
heroine.
Yeah,
he was probably a bit crappy, but...
Yeah, well, I remember him from Home Improvement. He played Tim Allen's brother.
Oh, right.
So and of course I watched him. I watched Home Improvement after I had, or sorry, before I had seen this. So yeah. I'm like, oh, is that Tim's brother?
He
can't get that out of my mind.
He was probably he might have been like maybe the worst person in it, but he still
maybe he wasn't terrible. He hammed it up a little bit, but nothing that's offensive to me anyway.
Yeah, but Kelly Rowan was fine as the lead. I mean, again, her character's like someone you like, but, you know, she's kind of making maybe the wrong decisions at times. But if she didn't, we probably wouldn't have a movie.
Well, yeah, if someone doesn't say Candyman five times, then there's not going to be much of a film to watch.
Exactly. All right. So are you ready for your rating for this movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have it written down now.
Oh, awesome. All right. Do you want to give us your rating for this one?
For the story, I give a 7. Not quite as strong as the first one, but it holds up pretty well.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that score too.
The blood, once again, I give a 7. It's the sequel, so they try to outdo the first one.
Mm. There is more, but it's kind of like just because there's more killings, but the amount of blood for each killing is probably around what it was in the first one.
Yeah.
So it's not crazy over the top anything.
No, but once again, that kind of... It stays true to what the movie is. The movie is not like just some like gory killing spree.
Exactly.
Nudity? I give it like a...
I don't remember there being
like a 1 or 2. I mean, all the nudity is pretty incidental, like in the background during like the Mardi Gras. Not Mardi Gras, the Day of the Dead or whatever.
Yeah, you don't see too much. Nobody really shows their boobs, I think.
Well, if you look really hard in the background, you see some people who are topless, but, I mean, it's not...
you got to be looking
It's not the focus of the movie. Exactly. I'm looking really hard for this.
Yeah.
But I give it, like a 1 or 2 at the most. You know, it's very incidental nudity. Yeah. It's just... overall, I give it a 6.
Yeah, I think my score was about 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was a pretty strong sequel, and I enjoyed it for what it was. So
it's definitely above average.
Yeah, it didn't leave me with a bad taste in my mouth, like the next movie in the series, which is the third one, Candyman: Day of the Dead. Now, this one.
Can we just not talk about this movie?
Yeah, no, we have to. This shit fest stars Donna DeErico. Who was she in Baywatch for a little while?
This is what Donna DeErico is known for. Getting naked in a magazine and being on Baywatch.
Yeah, and for some reason they thought it was a good idea to put her in this movie.
Ugh.
I have to say, first, this is what, a 1999 film? I have to say, this is probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
I really just thought this was terrible. I don't know what they did with... you know, two good movies and they came into this with just such shit. It was terrible.
Yeah, I was really wondering what they were thinking, because the first movie set the tone, the second movie kept with it for the most part, and this one, they just threw everything out the window. I really couldn't believe what they did.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, I get it. It's direct-to-video.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't try.
A decent movie. This is just crap. It's,
This is definitely a poor man's Candyman.
This is just a piece of crap. I don't even know, like, how else to describe it. Like,
Well, it's... I found it a poor amalgamation of the stories of the first two movies.
Mm.
This movie didn't really further the story at all from the previous movies.
No.
I found it to be a retread mostly of the second movie with hints of the first one.
Yeah, like, it's our main character is, well, it's a descendant of the Candyman.
Well, she's the daughter of the main heroine in the second movie, I should say.
Yeah, and
which is weird because apparently 15 to 20 years have happened between these two movies, yeah. Even though this seems to take place just a few years after the second. Yeah, so like if it came out in 99 and you watched it in 99, then you have to assume that this movie is set during present times.
Yeah.
We're introduced to the daughter of the heroine from the first movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like the second. It's kind of like what they did, just because I listened to your podcast not that long ago about Child's Play 3, how it came out a year later, but the kid's all grown up now.
Oh, God, yes.
I guess
I don't want to talk about Child's Play 3.
Well, yeah, I mean, the title of your show there was it Third Time Zaham?
Third Time is a Harm.
That definitely goes with this film.
Hey, if I had seen this movie before I did that podcast, this movie would have been on that podcast. It's not that bad.
It deserves to be. It is just, I mean, the story isn't that good. It's really stupid.
No, like
stupid.
I said, the story's a retread of like what we've seen before. It doesn't further anything that we've known from the previous movies. There's a flashback to Daniel Robitaille.
Yeah, but it's done completely different. Like, when you see it in the second movie, his death is like during the day. Then they show it here. They're trying to make it scary by putting it at night in like almost looks like there's going to be a storm. So that was stupid.
Yeah, it's like they have him up on like a wooden cross.
Yeah, which wasn't
at night
the case
during
either.
Storm, surrounded by like four people, even though there was like 20 in the previous movie. During the day, he wasn't tied up anywhere. He was on the ground.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's also a flashback to him being with the woman. You know, there's a love scene.
Yeah.
Which is fine and all, but I mean, it doesn't. We already know that they were in love.
Exactly.
We don't have to see the love scene.
And this one adds, you know how we had the mirror in the last one? This one's the paintings that he did.
The movie doesn't even set up the painting as
but
anything.
It doesn't, you know, all of a sudden, oh, well, let's destroy the painting and then you can destroy him. But it's like, well, how do you explain him
never,
keep coming back? They didn't.
It was
bother.
Never set up like that. Like, Like, okay, like I know I'm ruining the movie, but fuck it. It's a terrible movie.
It's a bad movie.
She starts slashing at the painting of Daniel Robitaille, and it hurts Candyman. I'm like, what the hell? At least the mirror was introduced.
Yeah, there was nothing.
In the second one, as like an object of his power.
It's
I have
not
no
explained.
Idea how that painting came out.
Yeah, it's not explained at all. But they don't explain how he's come back or anything. He's just there.
Well, no, they set it up in the sequel for him to, you know, like where his power comes from and how to get rid of him.
But still,
he just shows up. But I mean, I guess it's set up in the first movie where, as long as
the legend
is still
alive.
Talked about, he can still exist.
Yeah, they kind of try to do that at the end of this movie, and it's just like, shut the fuck up, you annoying bitch.
it breaks a rule in the previous movie, but then it just goes back to it in this one.
Yeah, it's really stupid. It's just
picking and choosing. It really kills it for fans of the.
Nobody really thought about what they were doing with this movie. Obviously, I mean, casting.
Well, it's like, hey, it's a movie franchise now. Let's just keep making them. But
casting such a bad actress just ruins all credibility.
Because she's the focus, she is the heroine, she should be at least decent, but she's terrible.
She is beyond terrible.
She is terrible, and for some reason, she posed naked in magazines, but yet, even though she wears nice, tight clothing, I was really disappointed we didn't get to see anything.
Yeah, you don't really see anything, and she just constantly just doesn't wear bras with white tops.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few scenes where she's wearing a tank top and so loose you actually see side boob.
And she just, you know, she doesn't wear a bra, whatever. Okay. Yeah,
she'll walk around. That's probably the only good thing I can say about her, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, her acting is just non-existent. Her screaming is the most unconvincing I've ever seen. Her scared face just looks pathetic. I mean, I just wanted to punch her in the face. That's how annoying it was.
I know you said, like Tony Todd is awesome to watch.
Yeah.
But in this movie, and even though he's a co-producer of this movie, he looked like he was kind of like half bored.
Yeah, I don't think he's a big fan of this film.
Like he didn't want to be there or something.
He is just the terribleness of it. And he's just probably like, what have I gotten myself into?
Hey, you, be my victim. I don't care. I'm blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, none of that's explained either. Like, why does he want his family dead? I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like he's going after another blood relative, like in the second one, but it's, you know, he's going after her like she was Virginia Madsen's character in the first movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's a scene, like, remember, this is supposed to be like his great-great-granddaughter or whatever. There's a scene where she's supposed to be doing this dude she just met, and all of a sudden Candyman appears while they're supposed to be screwing, and it's like, okay, that's kind of gross.
Oh, yeah, and he just disappears.
Yeah. It's all just doesn't make any sense.
He's kind of like half making out with her and stuff. Like, dude, it's just blood.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's such a shit movie. Don't watch it at all.
I'm trying to think of something that I really liked about it, but it just reminds me more and more about how much I hate the movie.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Tony Todd, I like the Candyman character. Even he looks so bored or uninterested or doesn't want to be there. I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, he needed something good, but they just really let him down with this film.
Some of the side characters are okay. Some are just ridiculous and off the wall, like the
grandmother of the guy.
Just introduced and dispatched within a span of 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's all really just stupid. It is. I mean, some of the death scenes are okay, I guess.
You know, he's in there for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, some of the deaths are okay, but they just went overboard with, like, flashes of her mum and, you know, it's just silly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. They're trying to make the family connection and how much this is bearing on our heroine's shoulders. But she's so unlikable, we just don't care. And exactly. It gets grating.
Yeah. It's just the absolute crap.
Well, exactly. I mean, if there's one monosyllabic sound word that I can make for this movie, it would be bleh.
Yeah, exactly.
Bleh.
And, I mean, the first one and the second one kind of set up something that could have been good, but they just ruined it with this one. And, you know, maybe you could do another one to actually fix this crap because, you know, it's been 10 years since this came out.
Yeah, well, I read on Wikipedia that apparently a fourth movie is being made.
And surely it's got to be better than this turd.
Well, it can't be worse.
Yeah.
Tony Todd said he's coming back. Like, it's supposed to be really, from what I read, and this is Wikipedia, you know, the place where everything is factual, but it's supposed to be out sometime this year.
Okay.
Direct to video, but...
Well, I guess we can keep an eye out.
I'm hoping it's better than this one.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really hard to make something worse than this. So, all right.
Because, like direct-to-video movies these days, I mean, there's indie people out there who put a lot of work into their stuff, you know? And
$1 million,
they can put out, like, a really good movie.
A really good movie, yeah. But it just takes something like this to be complete crap.
Yeah, it's like they just took the Candyman name, like, hey, we're going to make another Candyman movie and just kind of coast right through.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least the first two movies had the benefit of Clive Barker writing at least a story for those movies.
Mm.
This one, Barker had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they just really ruined everything.
Say what you will about Barker. You may not like him, or maybe you do like him. But, you know, if he did the first two, maybe you should have tried to get him on for the third movie, too.
Yeah, but no, this is just a piece of crap. So what
piece of shit. Fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah, let's do a rating. My rating is like 1 out of 5.
1 out of 5?
Yeah.
Well, for the story, I gave it a 3, which is probably being pretty nice.
That's probably being nice, yeah.
It just takes way too many elements from the previous two movies and just combines it. But it doesn't gel well at all.
Yeah, it's a retread.
I've seen it before. I wanted something new. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
3 out of 10. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Blood. I gave it a 5. Not quite as bloody. Probably because the budget was so much lower. Mm. You never see like actual penetration. You see him kind of just reach his arm back and come down, but you don't see the hook go through. You just see the after effect, like the hook's already through.
Yeah, I think the bloodiest thing was probably just the mum when she's got her neck is just gushing with blood.
I thought the bloodiest part was when he killed Donna D'Arco's roommate. He just kind of jabbed it in her stomach and started like ripping upwards, and there's just blood gushing. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't redeem the movie at all, but no. I mean, like, well, at least there's a bloody scene in this movie.
Yeah.
Boobs?
There was a lot of
nudity. I give 7. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a bit of boobs in this movie, and they're not bad at all. I mean, they're not really from Donna, but they're from other people
I put a little like a point or so there because she's wearing tight clothes and she wasn't wearing a bra, so it was nice. Yeah. But yeah, there were a couple of people who were just nice enough to walk around topless for a little bit, and they were very nice.
And there's one scene in particular with Rena Riffle who has she's basically just wearing a thong, and Candyman comes along and she's naked with bees all over her bare chest. I don't know how she did that scene, but that was a pretty cool death scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's something I wanted to touch on, too. The bees. Way too many bees.
Yeah.
Bees are stupid.
Yeah, they overkilled with the bees in this movie.
Yeah, it just... Okay, we won't discuss it, but yeah, there's just the overuse of bees. I found this really weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, anyway, Rena Riffle, hot, naked, cool.
Yeah, thumbs up.
It's the only thing I'm going to give thumbs up in this movie.
Exactly.
Overall, give it a 2 out of 10. Just,
yeah.
I need to come up with a word for something this bad. It's just, it's garbage.
It's vomit there.
Yeah, it's to be avoided. If you like the first two,
don't watch.
Just skip this. It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes. You're not getting back.
There's no redeeming qualities in this movie whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, with the trilogy, just stick with the first and second, and just forget there is even a third one.
And hey, maybe that fourth one might be decent.
Yeah, but
if it comes out.
Yeah, if there is, and if it comes out, let's hope. But, first two, definitely check them out. And I think even if you're not really that big into horror, I still think you'd get something out of the movies because they're pretty good. Like, it's not just a traditional kind of horror slasher type movie. There's more there, as we've discussed. So
if you want to, like, if you want someone who's not really into horror movies to watch Candyman, just call it a thriller.
Exactly. That works.
You might be able to sneak it in and get them to watch it.
Exactly.
Hey, that's what Hollywood did. Oh shit! Horror movies aren't making money. Well, let's just call them thrillers.
They're thrillers. Like, oh wait, horror movies are back. Yeah. Alrighty.
Oh, whatever. Works. whatever they can use to sell their movie.
Yeah. Just try and sell it.
Candyman, a suspenseful thriller.
Yes. Or maybe the title's misleading. I don't know.
Maybe, but I mean, when you got like a big dude with a hook on the cover, I mean, I don't think you're going to fool anyone into thinking what this movie is.
Yeah, not really.
But I mean, it's more than just a typical slasher. It's,
yeah.
There's a lot more meat to it, and it's all the better for it.
Yeah, you get a lot more out of this movie because of, you know, the strong story and everything like that. So, yeah, like, thumbs up to number one and number two, and a big piece of crap on the third one.
It's one of those movie series where you can rank them as they come out. First one's great. Second one is good. Third one is terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that with Final Destination, actually. They keep getting worse.
Well, I only saw the first two. I thought the third one looked pretty bad, and I just skipped it.
Ah, they're worth watching, but only once.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's about a wrap for our Candyman reviews.
So, woo, another series down for me.
Yay, another series done and dusted. So,
another one. I have to figure out what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, now you can get onto Leprechaun.
Well, that's probably a good idea because I know I have them all.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me again, even though it's been a while since you've come back on the show. But
it was great.
Lots of fun.
I like discussing horror movies.
As do I.
That's probably why I have a horror podcast.
Yeah. And I'll be waiting for another invite.
Podbean.com.
I'm waiting for another invite.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
Oh, damn. As long as it's not at 1 a.m. for me.
Yeah, if you're going to be on again, you're definitely going to have to contribute this time around.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm always happy to have you back on the show because it's been fun, and you definitely know your stuff. So I think lots of people can get quite a lot out of what we've got to say.
Well, either I know my stuff or I'm the greatest bullshitter in history.
Yeah, one of the two.
It's probably a pretty decent combination of the both, I think.
It's a mixture. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks again, and hope the listeners check out your podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope they do.
Yes, well, thank you again.
And coming to getyou.podbean.com.
Yes, say it one more time, just in case.
I don't want to say it five times. Heaven forbid I come out of the mirror and try to kill myself.
Yeah. Well, that's the new legend. Say the podcast name five times, and Sean will come and kill himself right in front of you. Yeah, so
until next time. My bullshit.
Until next time, Sean's coming to kill himself, and I'm always awesome.
No, you're super.
I'm super awesome.
No, you can't do that. That's not your name.
Okay, I'm just super for today.
You're super Marcy.
I'm super Marcy, and I'll catch you later.
I'm just average Sean.
Who's going to kill himself in front of you when you say his podcast name five times.
Yes. Come to getyou.podbean.com.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.